Dogs are known as man's best friend, but are we doing our best by them in return? As the confirmed number of obese dogs reaches just over 50%, they're actually catching up with their human counterparts, which is currently 6 in 10 adults in the UK. Now, what is in the processed food that we give our dogs, and which diet is best for them? Here now to talk through how we can help our canine companions thrive with right diet, our canine nutritionist and behaviourist Anna Webb and founder of Poppy's Picnic, Dylan Watkins. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Now, first of all, Anna.
Yes.
What is in processed food that we're giving dogs?
Right, well, a lot of things that owners might be a bit surprised and confused about, to be honest with you. And just as we're being encouraged to eat less processed food and be aware of hidden sugars and additives and the like that can pile on the pounds without us really knowing, the same is true for dogs. Now, interestingly, research from Poppy's Picnic has revealed that the message is getting through to us humans. 81% of us, in fact, realise that now, by eating a bit healthier with fresh foods, you can prevent obesity-related diseases, including diabetes, which is actually soaring in our canines. Yet, 50% of us still can't make that correlation to the dog's bowl by thinking about, well, what is actually in this can or what is actually in this bag? So what I would like to urge people to do as a canine nutritionist is really look at the ingredients, and you'll see that rather than having fresh, juicy lamb listed on the back in the ingredients, it actually will just say meat derivative, which, of course, is not only a very vague term, it does make you wonder what bits of the meat and from what type of animal. And it is a worry. But not only that, there's ingredients like barley, rice and maize added to the dry biscuit-type food, which dogs aren't predisposed to absorb any plant proteins. Yet these foods have been added, these ingredients, sorry, have been added to these foods to boost the protein percentage on the back of the packaging. Now, if dogs can't, as carnivores, absorb protein from plants, what are these complex carbohydrates doing in this food? All they're really doing from a dog's perspective is adding a lot of sugar, which, of course, from a behaviour aspect, can lead to sugar spikes and sugar lows, which doesn't help if you're training your dog.
Yeah, so sometimes you're talking about behaviours. It's the actual, the owners of the dogs as well. It's the behaviours that need to be trained, don't they?
Absolutely. In the world where dogs, you know, are giving us a benefit for, you know, for guide dogs, for example, we can over-treat. We can treat our dogs because they're helping us to do something which we would struggle with. So we need to be aware of that. And of course, there's many dogs that I've seen that people that are blind, or the dog itself is very large, is very obese. So we need to watch out for that as well. And I'd really urge that we stop feeding these dry foods, because it's detrimental. Because if you did feed a fresh raw diet such as Poppy's Picnic, your dog as well can live longer. In fact, up to 32 months, nearly 3 years longer as well. So you're getting the love from your dog and the benefit as well that your dog has been trained for too.
It's interesting what you mentioned, guide dogs. There, a lot of our audience, a lot of you out there will be sitting there with your guide dog by your side. Now, guide dogs as an organisation are very strict on the guidelines for food. And it is dry biscuits generally, and it's in the morning, in water, and at night, and you know, maybe a bit of fruit, but not much snacking in between.
Yeah.
And the dogs generally are kept very, very lean when it's strict. But then there's that temptation, isn't there, to treat like you're talking about there in between.
For sure. It's a natural thing to do. Your dog is giving you unconditional love and also is giving you eyes to be able to see. So you are going to treat your dog. And when I was setting up Poppy's Picnic, I spoke to many different people, from vets, nutritionists, and to people that worked with guide dogs. And this over-treating and overfeeding can really relay on so many ways of, you know, the poop. It's something where the dog needs to poo more than what it should. And if with a raw diet such as Poppy's Picnic, the dog doesn't poo as much. And I would really do urge people to start speaking to the organisations to say we should be looking at the diet that we're feeding our dogs.
So when you say a raw food diet, what does that consist of?
Yeah, so Poppy's Picnic, we make raw food, and it would be 70% meat, 10% offal such as liver and kidney, 10% bone, and then we'd put 10% garden dog-friendly vegetables in there as well. And that's it. There's nothing else added. So you're trying to mirror what the dog would eat if they were out in the world catching mice and rabbits and the like. So they're having a high-protein, dense diet, which just the benefits are massive.
But then, of course, there's fixed incomes and things like that, and there's cost involvement as well. How does that vary, that kind of diet, to the dry biscuit diet?
You'd be really surprised, because, of course, when I'm talking about good quality meats and good quality ingredients, such as what we've got in Poppy's Picnic, you'd think it would be a higher priced. But actually, because of the world of marketing, those dry foods that you see on the supermarket shelves and in the vets' waiting rooms, there's so much money pushed into advertising and making those bags all nice and colourful and paying for people to say certain things about things. That food is very expensive. And for price to price, when it comes to kilo, it's exactly the same about money-wise. It's about £3 a kilo, and you're having to feed less of our food than you are on dry, and the dog is getting better nutrition.
What about storage of it then? Is it easy to store that?
Yeah. When it comes to dry food, which can last for 5, 10, 15, even 20 years on the shelf, it's horrendous what they put in there to make it last. Our preservative is the freezer. So the food is frozen. It would arrive to you frozen as well. And you would just defrost the food as you need. So I've got 4 dogs, and I just pull out 2 packs of food every day and defrost it, and they thrive on it.
And I mean, I must admit, I used to babysit my friend's guide dog, Lucas, quite often. And it does seem, I know there's a reason why they're fed the way they are, to do with, you know, only the owner feeding them and not being distracted, but it does seem such a boring diet, doesn't it? There's those biscuits morning and night.
Spot on. Gosh, could you imagine if we were eating that kind of, like,
I do.
Pops every... Well, yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. They also need variety in their diet. And to be fed that food day in, day out, breakfast and dinner for the rest of their life begs belief. And if we can just educate more and more people to look what's in those ingredients, to hear and to fight for feeding a fresh raw diet, the better.
Anna, in the wild, though, do dogs tend to scavenge and eat all throughout the day?
Dogs are natural scavengers, you know, and that's why dogs will, you know, steal a box of chocolates at Christmas given half a chance and likely end up with a very expensive trip to a vet. Same with things like mince pies and Christmas cake. They'll eat something that is toxic because it's fulfilling their scavenging behaviour that, oh, cool, they're not looking. Let me just jump on the dining room table and nick a mince pie. That's in their nature. They're opportunists. Dogs, but that doesn't change anything. That doesn't change the fact that they are natural born carnivores, as Dylan's been saying, and that they to thrive at a cellular level, they need to eat a lot of fat, and animal protein, and carbohydrate ingredients are superfluous, really, almost to requirements. So to maximise health, for me, you know, with my own dogs, you know, I'm so fussy. I love to feed my dogs on a raw, biologically approved diet. I have done since 2002 with my first dog. And, you know, the skin, they don't have skin allergies. They don't get the itchy paws that a lot of dogs can get. The poop, as Dylan so eloquently discussed, is so much easier to pick up, it's just there's a vitality about the dog that I can tell a dog from a distance that's fed on a raw diet or a processed diet.
You can smell the difference in a dog too. On a raw fed diet, the dog smells different. And, you know, we've mentioned about poop. It's a huge difference. It can be like on a Labrador size, you know, a massive handful. And it reduces down to just a couple of small little fingers. It's rock hard. It's easy to pick up. It's not sloppy in any means. Sorry if anybody's eating or drinking tea at the moment.
We do cover it all on the show. So, Dylan, as you are Chief Woof, you're referred to by millions affectionately.
Yes.
What is Roggist?
Yes, Rawgust is our campaign to introduce more and more people to feeding raw food. So it's throughout the whole of August. At poppiespicnic.co.uk, we're giving massive discounts to introduce people to our food. And our VIP services, which is very important, pause, they too are there on hand to be able to talk through people about the benefits of feeding a raw diet. And the benefits are massive. Your vet bills near enough disintegrate, if there's any at all. My dogs have not been to the vets for years and years, and that's all down to feeding a raw diet.
Well, there you go. Anna Webb and Dylan Watkins, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.